From the Len de Grandpierre University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 25th day of October, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Chad Hart, Iowa State University Extension Ag Economist, will update us on what the yields are like in his state and his expectations as it relates to price and forecast going into the 2022 growing season. And then, as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too, with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics in Chicago. Oh, and along the way, Emerson Nafziger will join us again. This is part of a discussion I had with him last week about an article he wrote for the Crop Central website. Today, we'll discuss fall tillage right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today in Chicago settled at $5.38 a bushel. That was up a quarter. The March also a quarter higher at $5.46¾. And May corn, $5.50½, down a quarter. November soybeans, $16¾ higher, $12.37¼ the settlement price. January at $12.47, up $16¼. And the March contract, $12.56¼, $16½ higher. The bean meal down 20¢. The bean oil, $1.05 higher for the day. December soft red at $7.59½, down or rather up 3½¢. And the hard red winter wheat at $7.77¾, 3¾¢ higher. Live cattle futures at $129.52½, and the December $1.20 higher. Feeders for 100 pounds, $1.25 higher at $158.57½, and lean hogs at $74.20, up 87½¢. Crude oil, $83.66 a barrel, down a dime. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.55⁄⁶ per gallon. That's 2¼¢ higher. And the wholesale price of gasoline at $2.43¹, up 2¾¢ for the afternoon. Gold at $1,809.30, up $13 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average about 85 points higher. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to discuss what happened in the marketplace for this Monday afternoon. Thank you, Kurt, for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Ty. Glad to be here. Thank you.
It's been wet and soggy and rainy. What are conditions like around the Bloomington Normal area?
Yeah, rising tide floats off ships, and we got a rising tide in some of these rivers. 3 to 4 inches in some of these areas were kind of saturated to start with. But the thing is, the forecast remains wet as we look forward in through here, so it's going to be kind of a struggle. As everyone knows, we've pretty well seen a lot of the areas go for the corn and leave the beans, and so these beans are going to be some challenge here over the next few weeks. This have not been drying down. They like to get them below 16% if need be, but it's going to hinge on this forecast as we move forward. This afternoon's harvest progress reports expected to show the bean harvest 77% complete as a nation versus 70% average. Last week we were at 60%, so I don't know if we're quite up to that 77 or not. Corn harvest as a nation is expected to be 65% complete versus 54% average. Last week we were at 52. You know, it could be in the low 60s there on the corn harvest. So it's going to be a challenge from here on out. But, man, you producers, you're professionals at what you do, and I think you'll get her done. It's just when.
Yeah, this year we might see again, send it on Twitter, I suppose, I would think. And that probably will not turn out well always. Send it in the Western Corn Belt, which is where I've seen it a lot. They have a much tougher underside on the soils. They can hold a lot more weight. This one might not turn out so well. So we'll be watching and hopeful that farmers will get some drier weather conditions and that the soils in the state across the whole of the Corn Belt can manage to hold up that machinery. It did manage to put a little lift, I think, in the soybean market today. Was it that or the exports or something else?
I think it was a combination of things. Overnight, we're a little soft and had a lot of calls. What's going on here? We got a wet forecast and everything. But there's some comments out of China and a little concern about maybe future Chinese demand that limited the buying interest in early evening activity. But as the evening went on, I think the tree just kind of looked at some several other things. The weather, for the most part, being a little bit oversold on the short-term scale. Then, too, this Malaysia palm oil just continues to stay firm. There's some urgency. As I mentioned, the rising tide floats off ships, all these other markets are quite a bit higher, energy markets higher. So I think it was just a combination of things. You know, I know it is bullish Monday, but I don't think we're just going to rip roar to the upside here. It kind of feels like we're found the lower end of the trading range. We'll try to find the upper end of the trading range and consolidate a little bit. Then, too, I think we go back to several years of comments. I call it the TD trade here, Todd's trade, soybean oil and the potential there. It's a work in progress in through here. Seeing ADM move a ethanol plant and is talking about moving into the jet fuel market. There's a reason for that, and I think they see a lot of potential there. So the groundwork, longer terms, supportive in through here, and I continue to believe that the overall pattern is supportive for the most part. We'll see how the fall low holds in through here. Traditionally, once we have that fall low in place, we have a little seasonal up going into year-end. How high we go into year-end is going to depend on several things. One, South America. Brazil's about 36% complete on plantings. That's about normal. But then that southern Brazil into Argentina is extremely dry. So that weather pattern is going to be top priority. Then the last thing, too, is China. If you look at the daily reporting system, it shows very, very few sales at all, none at the 100,000-ton level. But on the weekly sales, if you look at the players, they're right there at some fairly large numbers. And we kind of believe that the demand's under there. They're buying. It's just going through different companies. And some of these companies are multinational companies, so some of that's internal. And we're kind of seeing that in the meat sector, too. So the demand's there. It's just not showing up on the daily scale. The thing we got to watch is basis levels on the river dropped here today. Corn is down over 20 cents a bushel. Soybeans down 15 cents a bushel. So we need to see that snap back.
So you mentioned the fall low. Do you think that that September, what was it, date? The 10th, down just below $5? Are you calling that the fall low?
Well, I think we're in the workings here. You take the historic Columbus Day holiday, that was over a week ago. So I think those lows a week and a half ago, the November soybeans, 1184. And if you take the December corn, you could probably use this $5 level, $506 area as fairly good support.
So farmers will be keeping track of that. Is there anything you want them to do as it relates to the corn that they have not marketed yet that might still be in the bin? And is it different than what they have left in at the elevator at this time?
Yeah, that's been a big pencil pusher here. Do I store or do I sell? I'm kind of surprised a lot of this grain's moved across the scale here. With $5 plus and $12 plus, I think a lot of producers elected to take the money and call it a year and kind of look forward to this 2022 crop and start the marketing process there. But no, it's a huge windfall and returns there. We've had a lot of guys move the grain and replace it with some option strategies. That way you're still on board if the market decides to move a little higher here as we go into 2022. It's going to take some renewed Chinese demand and some weather concerns to get that market to really roll here. Otherwise, storage-wise, I think we're pretty well set in through here. Once a guy fills the bin, he's not going to turn around and empty it. Once he pays minimum storage, he's not going to turn around and sell it right away. So there's a little seasonal upplay here in the year-end. And after year-end, it's going to be a little bit more of a gamble on which way the market goes, according to what that southern hemisphere brings us.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it much.
Very good. Take care, Todd.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joined us on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand. Where? At willag.org. Of course, willag.org. And if you scroll down that page to the calendar of events this week, you'll find Thursday's 11 a.m. Factors Affecting Farmland Markets in the calendar, and a link inside that to register for the Farm Doc Daily webinar that will take place then. Do visit our website. The address there is willag.org, willag.org. If you scroll to the bottom of the page, you'll find the calendar of events. And on Thursday of this week, there is highlighted in red a headline that says Factors Affecting Farmland Markets. Now, that's the Farm Doc Daily webinar series. This one, of course, is about the farmland markets. Bruce Sherrick and Gary Schnutke, agricultural economist, will join me for the hour, and it's free. You can register there by just copying and pasting the registration link, or if you've already been part of this series, you'll get an email that morning. But please do join us for Factors Affecting Farmland Markets. It's a Farm Doc Daily webinar series, an update for the fall that comes up at 11 a.m. on Thursday morning. The other thing that you'll find on our webpage at willag.org as you scroll down in the Farm Doc Daily and Crop Central section is an article that's titled Notes as Fall Harvest Continues that Emerson Nafziger penned last week. We have already aired a couple of items from my discussion with him about that particular article, and today we'll go through the last one, which is about a brand new study which he and Dan Schaefer have been running as it relates to fall tillage and how much should and should not be done, and what pays and what really doesn't.
We started a study a year ago that looks at tillage and cover crop in both corn, and we have it this year in both corn and soybean. And we found, not too surprisingly, that just doing spring tillage, one pass tillage, as we often refer to it, secondary tillage, not a primary tillage operation in the spring, is has yielded as well as doing a fall plus spring, or a primary deeper tillage in the fall plus spring tillage. That didn't shock us too much, but I think that, you know, we often do these tillage procedures kind of as a routine in the fall, and certainly most people are hoping to get out and at least turn under some of the corn residue that's out there. With good yields, we have a lot of residue, and there's not a great deal to object to on that. But people should just remember that tillage is always an expense, and we hope that it has a payback. Getting some tillage done in the fall in the corn stalks makes some sense in terms of having that field a little bit more ready to dry out and warm up in the spring, where we're planting soybeans in most of those. Tilling soybean stubble is a little bit more questionable, I guess. We have not really shown any advantage to deep tillage of soybean stubble in the fall, and well, we've seen a few of the recent springs of those fields that get soybean stubble that gets tilled in the fall is really subject to wind erosion and water erosion if there's some slope. So soybean residue, a good crop of soybeans leaves residue, and we try to distribute it uniformly with the combine. Tilling it under, you know, doesn't leave very much cover there for, no matter how we set the tillage equipment, it doesn't leave very much cover there, and the soil is vulnerable to moving off the field.
That's an excerpt from a discussion I had with Emerson Nafziger on his article titled Notes as Fall Harvest Continues. It's up on our website right now, and you can read it. Just look for Notes as Fall Harvest Continues at willag.org, willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Iowa State University Extension agricultural economist Chad Hart to discuss the commodity markets. Hi, Chad. Thanks for being with us.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you today.
Let's begin with the state of Iowa and what harvest has been like, how yields are for both corn and soybeans.
I was going to say, harvest has been going fairly well, like most of the rest of the country. It's been a little bit ahead of average, a little bit behind what we saw last year in terms of the speed at which we're moving, but the yields have been much better than what we saw last year. The idea is that, you know, as we're looking at USDA's estimate of 201 bushels per acre on the corn side, a lot of the data that I'm hearing from farmers would suggest, yep, that's probably a pretty good number. We're seeing similar strength as we look at the soybeans across the state. Good yields have been coming in despite some of the weather problems that we had.
Yeah, farmers and I think most in the industry did not expect Iowa, certainly Minnesota, parts of the Dakotas, but Iowa to do as well as it has. How much better is that crop than maybe you would have expected in the summer months?
Well, I think when we compare back, I mean, the easiest thing is to think back year over year. Last year, we had the combination of the drought and the derecho hit Iowa. And what we saw was, you know, corn yield average 178 across the state. So we're talking about right now, the best estimate is 23 bushels better than that this year is the salt, what we saw last year. And I think that's the big surprise here is the drought was actually deeper this year than it was last year. Yet we're seeing these better yields across the board.
What do you think of the action of the corn market as we move through September and parts of October?
Well, I think what we've seen here is this, you know, the market is trying to figure out, one, it knows there's this big crop coming down the line, but then looking at the usage pattern, are we seeing the types of, you know, purchases that we saw at this time last year? You know, if you think about the rally in a lot of our ag markets that really started to occur last August, September, October, a lot of that was driven by international demand, a lot of those export sales, and we're seeing somewhat similar patterns. Corn, very strong export sales thus far this year. Soybeans were off a little bit compared to last year.
Are you concerned about prices for one or the other crops in particular?
Probably the one I'm watching more closely right now would be soybeans. I think when we're looking at the sales on corn, that has been highly supportive. Like, say, when I'm looking at just the sales volume right now, we're basically on the same pace as we were last year. It's soybeans where we've seen that deficiency, but the data within the last week is given some reason for hope that we're seeing some recovery there as well.
Input prices for the 2022 crop, both corn and soybeans, whether you're using fall fertilizer on either one, are high, particularly for corn as it relates to anhydrous ammonia. Do you think that will change producers' ideas of what crop they might put into the ground, or is the $5 plus cash price enough, or thereabouts, for the 2022 grain to keep them planting corn?
Well, that's the deal. I think the $5 price definitely does help. But yeah, we're going to see some swings on the margin. I mean, a lot of the chatter I've heard is one of these deals of, for the most part, I'd say farmers are going to keep 90% of their plan still in place despite the input cost. But there's that 10% swing, and that could mean, you know, we're talking, especially if I look nationwide here, you may be talking 3 million acre swing, maybe from corn to soybeans, because of that higher input cost, especially through fertilizer.
How many acres would you expect in total between the two? And will they lose acres, for instance, to winter wheat?
We may lose a few there, but we're still probably talking, you know, north of 180 million acres across the two crops combined. So you're still talking roughly 90 million acres for each crop.
If the South American crops come to fruition, that would put a pretty end, that 2022 crop in Illinois, in the United States came to fruition as normal. That would put some pretty heavy pressure, I would think, on the marketplace, unless demand is really substantial.
Yes, that's definitely what it's going to take here. If you think about it, the idea is that what we had this year was where our crop came in, you know, very, you know, record levels. We did see some deficiencies, especially out of South America, and we have seen the Black Sea crop shorten up here a little bit as well. If all three of those areas produce as they can, you're talking about massive amounts of product being available come next harvest.
Livestock sector remaining strong?
Livestock sector's holding pretty good. If anything, you know, they're hoping sort of that we do see those massive crop products because that would help on the feed cost side as we're looking out there. But when we're looking at the cattle market and the hog market, for example, one of the key positive features has been continued strong export sales, especially when we're looking at beef. We're still looking at record shipments going out of the country. Pork, while it's backed off from last year's record, we're still on pace for the second best year we've ever had internationally.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure, sir.
That's Chad Hart. He's an agricultural economist at Iowa State University Extension. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's with Everstream Analytics. Thank you, Mark, for being with us. Tell me about the rainfall across the Midwest over the weekend and the series that we'll continue to have through this week.
Thanks, Todd. Yeah, thanks for having me. As for the Midwest rains here, obviously widespread heavy rainfall across much of the Corn Belt. And then we even saw some severe weather here on Sunday and Sunday night. In general, with the rainfall totals that did occur here, saw in general amounts range from 1 to 3 inches, some localized higher amounts, especially areas in around I-80 and then south. That's where the heaviest totals were located.
And what do we expect for the rest of the week?
This looks to be a wet week here with this weekend storm system that will continue to linger throughout the day here today, finally wrapping up early tomorrow in the eastern Corn Belt, but then another system will be coming through later on the week. Later on in the week, it doesn't look as widespread and heavy of a producer as this current one, but nonetheless, it is following on the heels and will produce another round of wetter conditions and obviously limit drying conditions.
Do things get better for next week?
It does look like next week things will improve. We see very limited rain activity. Granted, temperatures will be cooler across the Midwest, and we're kind of getting out of this, what's been just an exceptionally warm pattern much of this fall. So that will be changing a bit, but certainly the rainfall opportunities will be decreasing next week.
Are there trouble spots you're watching now in South America?
At this time, we're not seeing any kind of major trouble develop across South America. The area still to keep an eye on here, big picture-wise, that's Argentina, and that is due to some of the just increased dryness risks with the La Nina event ongoing. But here in late October and looking into the early portion of November, actually rainfall prospects are improving. And especially next week in Argentina, model guidance has trended wetter with a rain opportunity to start the week. And that rain event is needed because actually this week is on the hot and dry side across much of the belt. So next week's rains will provide relief and keep Argentina in good shape here during this early stage of the planting season.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. And if you scroll down the page there, you'll find a link in the calendar in red to the Farm Doc webinar series. This week, that should say factors affecting farmland markets, and that'll come up on Thursday morning at 11 a.m. I hope you will join us. You can get yourself registered right now for free. If you want, just click on that link in the calendar. Again, it's in red, factors affecting farmland markets. We'll talk with Bruce Sherrick and Gary Schnitke at 11 a.m. on Thursday morning of this week. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.